It's been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everybody. This is not Scott, this is Chad, and I'm sitting here with Doc Mosier.
Yeah, I'm back from assignment.
Back from assignment, and now Scott's on assignment. So eventually we get all three of us back together. I think last week there was basketball, and I think maybe next week is basketball
next week,
too.
So yeah.
We'll eventually get back to a normal routine, and all three of us get here and...
Yeah. The good news is that basketball and beer go hand in hand. So,
amen.
I mean,
amen.
Whether you're watching us or you're listening to us or you're listening to basketball, have a beer in your hand and it's all good.
Although I hope everybody else's bracket looks a lot better than mine.
Oh, gosh. sorry, mine is terrible.
I picked Kansas to win, and so that's that.
Yeah, same here.
And Mike is just laughing at me.
I just want to let you guys know that I put very little effort into it. And in the whole show bracket, last I checked, I was number three in, like, possible points.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So from now on, I'm just not going to put any effort into it.
No research.
Every time I try.
You're just going to go through and pick whatever you pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, 25th in that same bracket. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys probably watched more college basketball than I did.
No, I actually did the coin flip method where
I actually...
You picked the wrong coin.
I picked the wrong coin.
I actually started looking at stats and stuff.
So yeah, that's what I usually do. I usually spend, like, 45 minutes looking at stats and, you know, putting my brain together. And I just gave up this year.
Sometimes I do a little research into it, but I was a little pressed for time this year. I got a little behind and had to rush to put my bracket together. And
that's kind of how I was last year, and yeah. I ended up being second in the whole thing.
Well, you did a lot better than I'm doing.
This year I put time into it, and look where I am.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any way I'm going to get above 30. So.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's your fault. I think what we're seeing now is there's a lot of parity in NCAA basketball, which is a good thing, I think.
No, absolutely. And that's why everybody loves this tournament, right?
Well...
That's what makes it fun.
That and also it's college, right?
So yeah.
You could have, kids that are like totally on that one week and the next week they're totally off.
Right, yeah.
And just because it's college and that makes it super exciting. That's why I like college more than pro, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're out there trying to prove themselves and have fun. And
sometimes they are on point.
And sometimes they're on and
sometimes they're not.
Sometimes a 1 loses to a 16, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man, basketball's going on. We just got through St. Patty's Day.
Yes,
how was your St. Patty's Day?
St. Patty's Day was good. We had green beer, and we had a nitro stout. We still have our nitro stout on tap.
Very nice.
And then we also had a black and tans going. And more people were enamored with the black and tan than they were with the green beer. But
now,
that's
could you get it layered?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We are totally layered.
Yeah.
So
I know sometimes if you try to do a black and tan, if you don't have the right beer or it's not poured correctly, they don't quite layer and you don't get that good separation of the black and
tan. It depends on how fast you do it too.
True,
well, but no, we have two beers in particular that have gravities that are so different, or their densities are so different that it's almost like oil and vinegar mixing.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't mix.
Very good. Now, are you a green beer drinker?
No, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
I know that you could get like green beers and stuff, and as a brewer, it's just terrible to make a beer that's green.
That's green,
then
yeah.
It makes your lines green, makes your taps green, makes everything green, and it takes forever to clean that off.
Yeah, so we used to get the green beer in pre-kegged, and then we decided because of that reason that we just started buying food coloring and adding it to the...
That's exactly what we do. We add it as somebody says they want this beer green. Okay.
There you go.
There it is.
That's
green.
Yeah. And you know, and I think this was the first year that we had less requests for green beer than any other year.
Yeah, we had the same thing. I think last year we had so many different people ask for green beer. We were burning through our food coloring.
Yeah.
This year we had well over half of it left.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And it's just because I think people are like, yeah, it's kind of a neat gimmick, but, you know, it's a gimmick.
It is a gimmick, yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make the beer any more Irish.
No,
and it doesn't.
But I will tell you this. We did play an awful lot of Irish pub music. And
as did we.
That ended up being quite the hit.
Isn't that fun?
People thought it was, you know, like very uplifting and really kind of neat music to listen to.
Yeah, I had a CD of Irish drinking songs that we used to play for the kids in the car. And there's one about a tree and a bog and the bird and the branch and the tree and the twig. And the kids learned that song when they were very little because they'd love to play that over and over again. And then now, you know, 20-some years later, they're adults and we go to bars and we hear that song on St. Patty's Day. And they're like, hey, I know this song.
Well, we had Reminiscing, a band, to play. And they did a lot of sing-along songs and stuff like that. And my goodness, you could hear the whole crowd was just singing along with them.
Yeah.
And it was quite fun. So
it's great, you know, and that's what I love about St. Patty's Day is the atmosphere. Everybody comes together, sings the songs, and, you know.
Yeah, and it's so weird because here in the U.S., it's like a party.
Yes.
But outside of the U.S., there are certain places that might have a parade or something like that, or they might have a 3 or 4 day festival or something. But even in Ireland, it's not held to the same standard that we hold that day.
In Ireland, it started out as very much a religious holiday.
Correct. You weren't even allowed to drink beer on that because it's in the middle of Lent, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So,
And the snakes that St. Patrick drove out of Ireland weren't really snakes.
No, there were no snakes in Ireland to begin with.
That was him turning everybody over to Christianity. But it is. So my wife was over in Northern Ireland, not last year, but I think the year before, over St. Paddy's Day. It's becoming more and more a party-type atmosphere in Ireland.
It is. It is. And it's actually kind of neat because, you know, I remember growing up that there was always the IRA and, you know, Ireland, Northern Ireland, and England were kind of like you had to watch where you were going and stuff like that. And now it's so great that they're all getting along now.
Yeah.
That you can go and visit these places and, you know, hey, people still understand what was going on before, but it's something that people can talk about over a table rather than, you know,
and there's still some of the older generation that hold the same grudges, but the younger generation really don't care much anymore.
And you know what? You put a Guinness in front of anybody like that over there, and they're
amen.
Like, great. Hey, let's drink it.
Isn't that what beer's all about?
I think
food and good beer, and you sit down and have a conversation, and you bring anybody together,
and you just
right?
relax and, you know, let your troubles go.
That's right.
That's the whole point about beer.
That is the whole point about beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, big weekend coming up.
Yeah, this weekend we've got the Collab Fest. The Colorado Brewers Guild is holding a Collab Fest in Westminster at the Westin Hotel. And tickets probably are still available. I'm assuming they're still available.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think there's special room rates at the Westin.
Yes.
If you go to the Collab Fest.
Which is not a bad idea. So if you're going to go to Collab Fest, you might as well spend the night. Because
if it's in a hotel, you might as well stay, right? Who doesn't? You know, I think all beer festivals
should have
that option.
Yeah, so it's basically two different breweries get together and they make a beer together. And that means they stretch their boundaries. They come up with new things that they wouldn't have done normally on their own. But now that there's another brewery involved, they feel that they can try something kind of really fun and push the boundary. And so you'll see maybe like 100 different breweries there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying different breweries. And you might see a collaboration occurring between your favorite brewery and one you've never heard of before. And you can go try their beer. And it's just really, really cool.
Now you've got, are you pouring?
Yeah, so Rule 105 is collaborating. We actually did two collabs this year, but only one of them we're going to showcase at the Collab Fest, and it's with Vicious Cycle Brewing in Fraser.
In Fraser, yeah.
Great brewery up there in Fraser, if you ever have a chance.
Fairly new brewery, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just hitting their first year anniversary just not too long ago. But they are amazing. And together we came up with a really great Belgian blonde ale that is flavored with pear juice.
Ooh.
And it's pretty good. It's not too bad. And the alcohol is a little high on it, so you have to kind of watch yourself on it. But we'll be there pouring, and we're really looking forward to this weekend. It's, for us, it's the start of the festival season.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's been a couple smaller festivals I know. I know there's Breckenridge might have already done it, or it's coming up soon. They do a big beer festival that kind of coincides with the end of ski season.
Right, and, right.
And then Collab Fest kind of are the big two that I click in my head that are the kickoff to all the festivals.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about beer, you're trying to like say, hey, what's the kind of beer that I haven't tried before, or what's something that's going to push my envelope? Collab Fest is the great way to get out there, because not only are you going to see those beers that you never see before, but you're also going to see those breweries that you never even thought of before.
That's right. So let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back. We'll talk about an interesting beer that's going to be highlighted at the Collab Fest this weekend. So stick around. Hey.
Hey.
What?
What's the matter with my hair?
I don't have any. What's the matter with my hair? All right, so we were talking about Collab Fest, and I ran across an interesting article earlier today. There's two breweries that are going to be pouring at Collab Fest. Old 121 Brew House out of Lakewood and Banded Oak Brewing Company out of Denver. And they decided they were going to get together and do a collaboration for Collab Fest. But they went about it a little differently than I think probably you and Vicious Cycle did. They turned to AI.
Yeah, because all we did is we just got together and had a pen and paper and just started jotting notes down.
Yeah. So these guys got together and said, you know what? AI is the thing. We got this app on our phone. Let's plug it in and let's see what kind of style we can develop. So that's what they did. They plugged into AI, and they wanted to find out some of the newest trends in craft beer. And the beer style they came up with is called wellness beer, which is described as beer that uses holistic qualities of ingredients in the final product.
Okay. So did they come up with a name, or did the AI?
This is what AI told
AI
them
came up
is
with
the upcoming beer trend.
I'll be darned.
But they weren't done with that. So they decided that AI, or maybe they were done, but AI wasn't done, and came up with a recipe for the beer. So what they did, they used the recipe from the AI, and they're calling it the Bots Made Us Do It. It's they're pouring it at Collab Fest this weekend. And a quote from the breweries are, "We're excited to share this beer as an exploration of what AI can bring to the brewing scene and test how sophisticated the technology really is." So that's you know, I think that's quite interesting.
It is.
A different way using technology to kind of go about brewing beer.
Right. I mean, and of course, if I would have done AI, would it have told me the same thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Know, so
because it kind of takes what you plug in the personalities of the two breweries, I would imagine.
And probably use an awful lot of data from across the at least the states to try to figure out what is the trend that people are going to now. I'm anxious to try. Did it say what style the beer is?
It's a different style. They're calling, oh, what was it? Holistic? Let me find it again.
Yeah, so it's not...
Wellness beer is what the style is called.
Okay.
Which I've never heard of before.
No. I haven't either.
And it's a... The style is described as beer that uses holistic qualities of the ingredients in the final product.
Huh.
So, you know, I'm assuming, like, you know, you go to a holistic, store, and they give you herbs and...
Well, and I'm thinking a lot of herbs, and I'm thinking a lot of locally grown malts and locally processed hops and things like that.
So taking the holistic properties of the hops and the grains and...
I'm anxious to give it a try and see what it is. Like I said, I will be there, so I will get a chance to try it and see what it's all about. This is kind of interesting.
Really interesting. Could kind of change the face of brewing if people tend to start turning towards AI to come up with recipes and styles.
Because I could see the very next step, if the AI is choosing the style and you could automate your brewing... Then the AI could not only choose the style, but also brew the beer and make it. And so all you have to do is serve it, and we're not too
anybody
far
anybody else
away.
Thinking Terminator here?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking earlier. I can totally think Terminator.
It kind of takes away the craft of craft beer, does it not?
It does in a way, but, you know, I'm going to have to talk to them and figure out how much input they had versus how much input the computer did.
Yeah.
But, there is something to be said about a handcrafted beer where you can tell that...
Where you sit down and you take your
over themselves. Right, and their experiences. That's a big plus. So, interesting.
It could end up being that... You go and you go to AI and you say, we want to brew a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with a style. They come up with a recipe. Then, you know, automation kicks in.
Right.
That sends that to the production facility, which then...
Weighs out the grain. Does it all.
Selects the hops.
And there's just...
Boils the wort.
And it's just humans walking around to make sure there's no leaks.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that kind of is relegating all of the handcrafting and the ideas and the new things that have given us some wonderful beers to the computer rather than to us.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Be interesting to see if
to the see computer, kind of what the computer came up with.
Right.
If the beers, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't pour it if it's not drinkable.
Yeah. Right, right.
But... Yeah, really fascinating that I came across that, and I know Collab Fest was coming up this weekend. So
yeah, and it's just this whole idea of AI has really starting to permeate much
really
more
is.
So. I mean, I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s when the fancy thing was the microwave oven.
Right.
Right? And so now we're talking about not just something simple like that kind of a gadget that we all have, but we're talking about the computer thinking about things beyond what we would have normally thought about.
We're getting more and more into that Jetson age, aren't we not? You know?
Yeah, where seriously. Where
everything's automated and, you know.
As long as it doesn't go to Terminator and Skynet gets right. involved, then we're okay.
That's why AI kind of terrifies me a little bit. But, you know, this is just an app you can download on your phone. I've seen memes where they use AI to... come up with different characters or, you know, the one I'm thinking of, they did, what were all the characters on The Office like as toddlers? Mm-hmm. So AI came up with all these artist renditions of what the characters on The Office were as toddlers.
Be kind of cool if they could come up with AI to say, hey, write us an episode of The Office or write us an episode of Friends.
Well, and I know they're doing that. And I think, what did I see the other day? It was on the what's that show? I can't quite remember. It was the one that Stephen Colbert hosted and then...
No, sorry. Here.
I don't know. It's Comedy Central. Anyway, so a year ago, they said AI had a 30% chance of passing the bar exam. And now here, not quite a year later, it has a 90% of passing the New York bar exam.
Goodness.
So that's how fast AI is learning.
Right.
And, you know, just so fascinating what all this can do.
Right. This sounds like an episode of South Park is in the making.
Yeah.
It
really does. It really does. The Daily Show. That's what
the
it was.
The Daily Show, sure.
But yeah, it was just a clip I saw. Somebody sent me a link to a video of it. So,
yeah, it's not going to be too much longer, seriously, before that's what's actually
right.
The script writers are going to be AI instead of a group of people sitting around a table.
Yeah, crazy.
I know, right? How, so we have to be careful,
I think we really do have to be careful.
Because if somebody suggests that we create something called Skynet, then it's not too much longer. And
Sarah Connor, come with me if you want to live.
That's right. So what did you guys go through this last week with St. Patty's Day?
Oh, gee, St. Patty's Day and the basketball tournament started.
Right.
And so St. Patty's Day is always our biggest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years back decided to quit doing Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we kind of always brought Guinness in.
Right.
But a few years back, we did a side-by-side comparison with left-hand milk stout and Guinness, and left-hand milk stout far outsold.
Really?
By 2.5 to 1, I believe.
I'll be darned.
So people actually preferred the left-hand milk stout. Hmm. So,
well, I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good beer.
So. It is a great beer. So, you know, and left-hand's always been really good about helping us promote it. And during St. Patty's Day, left-hand does a big promotion about America's Stout. So that's their left-hand milk stout, and kind of combating, or not really combating, competing with Guinness. Guinness mm-hmm. will always far outsell them nationwide, I believe. But I feel like here in Colorado, people really enjoy the left-hand milk stout a little bit more than they did the Guinness.
I think so, too. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, Guinness actually has breweries all over the world. They even have a brewery in New Jersey. But all of their stouts are actually still made in Dublin
and
imported. So the brewery in New Jersey is only making experimental and other types of beers that they're
really
known for. So they still import that beer. So it's always going to be this thing that comes just from that particular brewery.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that, you know, a brewery is making a beer here in the States that is as good, if not better,
yeah,
than the stout that, you know, put Ireland on the map for the most part.
Well, and I think when everybody kind of thinks about Guinness, they think about the nitro style of Guinness.
Right.
Which you've got a nitro style. Milk stout's nitro style. Tighten it down here in downtown Greeley as a nitro style stout.
We actually prefer the non-nitro version, although the nitro version does.
And I think a lot of people, a lot of beer drinkers do,
mm-hmm.
but I think St. Patty's Day is kind of one of those amateur holidays.
Sure.
So New Year's Eve, where people that don't necessarily go out and drink beer all the time are going out to find, hey, it's St. Patty's Day. We got to have a Guinness on St. Patty's Day, right?
St. Patty's Day, right? And we actually hooked our nitro tap up so that it pours very similar to the Bierstadt slow pour pills.
Yeah.
So it takes forever to pour.
Yeah.
But the head is just perfect on it. I do agree that part of it is great. But to me, it's all about the beer underneath, not
absolutely
the nitrogen.
I agree
on top
with you 100%.
So. But yeah, no, it's really great to hear that Left Hand out-competed Guinness.
So we just kind of quit doing Guinness a few years back, and nobody really noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had one guy on St. Patty's Day go, well, I can't believe you guys aren't doing nitro or Guinness.
Right. And if you're going to do a black and tan, the standard one is Guinness on top and Harp Lager on the bottom.
Correct.
And, you know, Harp Lager is a little bit difficult to find.
It really is. It really is.
So, you know, then you try replacements for it, and yeah, it's just not the same.
Sometimes not quite the same.
Sometimes not quite the same. So, Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that the St. Patty's Day went over really well.
Yeah, very good.
You guys know, do corned beef and cabbage.
We do corned beef and cabbage. Mm-hmm. We do a Guinness stew.
Yeah.
So I do run to the liquor store, grab a couple cans of Guinness just to throw in the stew.
And I've had your corned beef and cabbage before. It's really tasty.
Yeah. So. We go through about 100 pounds every St. Patty's Day.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot.
Did anyone order the mashed potato pizza?
Not one person ordered a mashed potato pizza, I'm sorry to report.
Dang it.
Or happy
I was hoping that there would be a kindred spirit out there.
So it was a Friday, which, it being Lent, we tend to sell a lot of fish on Fridays during Lent. So our fish and chips was quite the big seller as well.
And that goes great with a nice Guinness or something else like that,
does,
too. So,
yeah.
Or in your case, a
left-hand milk stout. So. today's the first full day of spring.
Right.
Let's take a break here. We're going to come back and we'll talk our review beer, which
is
a great style to introduce during spring.
Mm-hmm.
So stick around, find out what that beer is, and find out what we think of it. Welcome back to Brew Talk here from the Aloe Fiber Studios down here in beautiful downtown.
Beautiful downtown.
Greeley, Colorado.
And it is a great day today.
It really
isn't
is. It? A little blustery.
Yeah.
But great spring day. Mm-hmm. Great first full day of spring.
This is the kind of day that I'd like to have all year round.
I absolutely agree with you.
A little on the cooler side.
We take that wind away, it'd absolutely be a perfect day.
Oh, I agree.
Speaking of first full day of spring, great beer to enjoy during the springtime is Hefeweizen.
Right. So that's exactly the beer I brought in. It's by Paul Landner out of Munich, Germany. And I've managed to find a Paul Landner in a can. And when I saw a Paul Landner,
which we're talking about is kind of rare.
Yeah. When I saw it in a can, I was like, I'm buying that. So I got this Paul Landner Hefeweizen, which is a Munich wheat beer. Hefe means yeast, and Weizen means wheat beer. So this is a yeast wheat beer. It should be kind of cloudy, just one of those kind of beers you think about in spring because you're getting away from the super dark heavy beers, but now you're moving towards the
a little bit
lighter
a little
beers,
bit crisper,
and so this is sort of like the go between those two, and so we poured it in our glasses, and what do you think?
First taste, very good.
Yeah, and when I poured it in, I accidentally poured it a little too vigorously, and I got this head that just like filled my glass, and I started going, uh-oh. Luckily, it didn't go on the floor.
Fortunately, we didn't spill everywhere.
But this is a foam that you could potentially eat with a spoon.
You really could. You really could.
Almost
the
fork.
Head just lasts almost forever.
Oh, I know. It's just great.
A deep, golden, cloudy color, like mm-hmm. we talked about, which mm-hmm. is which is good for a Hefeweizen.
A lot of clovey kind of aromas and a little bit of banana mixed in.
Yeah.
Not overpowering, though. It's still very subtle on right. both the clove and the banana.
Which is very typical for a Hefeweizen, which, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people enjoy.
Yeah,
5.5% alcohol. So it's one of those lighter beers that you can have a few and not... You know, not be overwhelmed.
It's not in that range I might think of as crushable.
No.
But it's still in that range where I'd think, hey, I can have a couple of these and not have to worry too much over the course of the night. The flavor matches the aroma.
Absolutely.
Maybe a little bit more intense in the clove and the banana. And I think it really works out well.
So it do you think this really kind of highlights or is what a Hefeweizen should be?
This is right up there with what I would say. This is a great Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
Now, I cut my teeth on Hefeweizens when I was a kid growing up in, you know, of age.
Sure.
And learning about different kinds of beers. I went with a Widmer or Widmer Hefeweizen. Okay, yeah. That was my go-to whenever I went anywhere. It was always a Widmer Hefeweizen that I'd order. This one is really a little bit better, I think, because it has that clovey banana kind of flavor that the Widmer kind of lacks a little bit. Yeah. And the cloudiness is not overpowering.
No.
It's not so bready flavored that with the cloudiness is, of course, the yeast that's still floating around in there. And too much of that, I think, gets a little too bready, like you're eating raw dough.
Right, yeah. I agree. And I've had Hefeweizens like that.
Yeah, and this is not like that at all. This is a very well-balanced beer.
But it's also a little, I don't know if heftier is the right word, but I've had Hefeweizens that are a little lighter in flavor as well.
Right.
And I think I'm enjoying this a little better than those lighter in flavor ones.
Well, and I would say that this one, I think, has got a really great mouthfeel.
That's what I'm thinking.
It feels like you're drinking something rather than just sort of like water.
Washing down.
Right. Know. It's not water or anything. This is good beer. Paulaner, of course, has been around since the mid-1600s.
So they know a little bit about
you'd
beer.
You'd think they'd know what they're doing by
had
now.
Had some time to kind of develop a recipe and play with it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we've been around since, 2021? So we've got a couple of years under our belt.
You got a few years under your belt.
Not near as many as 1634.
I can't imagine they have the original brewer, though.
No, he's probably long gone by
probably
now.
Probably a little bit gone by now.
But, this beer is, it obviously is one that they've perfected over the last, 300 years, 400 years.
Yeah. Now, is this their staple beer, do you think?
For me, Paulaner makes a better beer than just their Hefeweizen.
Okay.
They actually have a whole class of different beers that are out there. They make some very, very malt-forward beers. They make this Hefeweizen. And so if you happen to be looking in the store and you happen to run across Paulaner, Paulaner, of course, has a round logo with a picture of like a monk inside the logo. And it's Paulaner. There's no D in it. It's not Paulander. And if you see that, I would recommend trying any one of their beers. Mm-hmm. You will be enamored with it. These beers from southern Germany are just wonderful beers to try.
So Paulaner's in Munich. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Munich wheat beer. That's right there.
It's in what we might call the, what do they call it? It starts with the B. Bavarian.
Bavarian, yeah.
The Bavarian area. And Bavarian beers, to me, are the epitome of beer.
And that's kind of, I think, a lot of us think of Bavarian beer and German beer as one and the same.
And they're not.
They're not, but I think when us normal beer drinking folk think of German beer, we think of the Munich styles.
Well, and we think of like the Oktoberfest.
Right.
Paulaner makes an Oktoberfest beer.
That's right, they do.
And it's an amazing beer, that's the beer you can get at Oktoberfest if you go to Munich.
Yeah.
You can also find it in the stores. It'll be in a bottle instead of a can, maybe, but that's primarily why I chose this one, is because in the bottle, it's an import, and so
and it gets a little off.
Gets a little
that
sunstruck.
Import flavor,
right? That import flavor that we talk about, or that skunky kind of flavor, yeah. And this one is in a can, so there's no way light can hit it. And my goodness, isn't it a great beer?
It really is. It really is. Hmm. And I don't know that I've ever seen an import
in a can
like this, which is really exciting. Because I think a lot of that skunky flavor is off-putting with a lot of imports.
Right.
And, while it's still a good beer, you kind of tend to shy away from it because you know what you're expecting.
Right. It's like Heineken. Everybody says Heineken is a great beer. But if you buy it in bottles, you'll think, ugh, this is like not that great. If you can find Heineken in a can, buy it. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a good beer. So,
or even on tap.
On tap, it's even better.
Yeah.
It's never seen the side of light. So, yeah, so when you find these kind of cans from an import, I usually look into them.
That's great. All right, well, we'll take a quick break here. Yeah. When you come back, we will tell you what we score this beer, and you can see if you agree or not. So stick around. Welcome back to Brew Talk, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here in beautiful downtown Greeley, Colorado.
Yeah, I know. It's a Redbone.
We were just complimenting Micah on his music selection tonight. We're enjoying the Redbone.
I know. And like we were talking about, Guardians of the Galaxy kind of brought it back into people's
reinvigorated.
Minds. Yeah.
So we were talking about Paulaner, Hefeweizen. That's our review beer for the evening. Any final thoughts, Doc, before we...
My final thought is this beer is best poured when it's cold. And when it is cold, you get this amazing head. And that foam lasts through the entire glass. There's this beautiful, hazy kind of golden color beer that's below it that just won't go away. And it's full of these cloven banana flavors that just make the beer just perfect from the start to the end.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is one of those beers, and you're doing it earlier with the can. Mm-hmm. You want to kind of spin
the
bottle or the can a little bit before you open it.
Right. And so for a can, I usually turn it upside down
to kind of get that yeast.
Let it settle upside down for a couple minutes before I turn it right side up and then pour it.
Because a big part of the Hefeweizen, you want to get that yeast throughout the beer.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you want to kind of pour it all at once. Is that right?
If you can fill your glass all at once with it, then you kind of want to pour at least 3/4 of the glass full, swirl the bottle or can to make sure there's no yeast at the bottom, and then pour it in as well.
So again, that you can enjoy all that the yeast.
Right, all the
and that's
breadiness.
Where all the breadiness, the banana, the cloviness comes from.
Exactly. So, in this particular case, when we've been pouring it, I think it's mixed pretty well.
I think it has.
So we're getting a lot of all those flavors together.
Yeah.
It just makes it this wonderful early springtime beer. By late spring, I'm going to move on.
Right.
But right now is the perfect time for a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, I think. And I got to say, I'm really enjoying the can because I really feel... That it, you know, you take away that import flavor, and it just really highlights that beer that much more.
Oh, I know. If this would have come in a bottle, we both would have said great things about it,
but it would have been a little different.
Right, and we would have still commented on this skunky aroma and skunky flavor that's mixed in with the rest of the beer. Here, we're not even mentioning
anything about that
because we're just enjoying the beer.
So we might as well, without further ado, kind of throw our ratings out there.
And I'm ready to go.
All right. What do you got, Doc?
I'm laying down a keg.
And I am doing a keg as well, which makes this Brew Talk approved. Another great beer. Thank you. Studio Audience agrees with us. They're enjoying the beer as well. Really, I think this is the epitome of a spring beer.
Me too. And it's not only the epitome of a early spring beer. I'm going to say early versus late spring. As an epitome of an early spring beer, it's also the epitome of a Hefeweizen.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not just like some average Hefeweizen that you might find anywhere. The Paulaner one is just absolutely amazing.
Just the one to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, if you're out there listening, I'm sorry we did a Hefeweizen when you're not here. I know that's kind of your go-to style of beer.
But, and I'm taking the extra can home with me.
There you go. You can enjoy it at home. So when you think of spring beers, Doc, what are some other styles that come to mind?
Yeah,
for
so you think of, you know, when you think of spring, you think of, I usually break spring in two parts, like the early spring and the late spring. Early spring, I'm thinking of getting away from the darker, heavier stouts and porters. We just had like, St. Patty's Day where we were doing the stouts, right?
Getting the end of the season.
Right. And so, like, I'm not going to transition into late spring, right? So I'm thinking of beers that kind of cross that boundary, like a pale ale is a great example of one. A Hefeweizen is a good example of one. I'm waiting on the fruity ones until a little bit later in spring. And so I'm not quite to the IPAs yet. IPAs for me are more of a late summer or early summer. Because I want something.
I know a lot of people think IPA and spring kind of coincide.
Right.
And I think there's so many different styles of IPA anymore. You kind of have to.
There is nothing wrong with going with any style you want at any time of the year.
Yeah.
Right. But for me, I'm thinking right now, my body is thinking, okay, I got to transition from all these stouts and porters I've been drinking, and I got to get into the summer beers, which are the pilsners and the blonde ales and things like that that are a little bit lighter of flavor.
Yeah.
Maybe a Schwarz beer or something like that. So I need to get into that mode, and so now I'm going to transition. So I'm going to slowly do it with very thick mouthfeel beers, but have lost a lot of the coffee and chocolate flavors.
Okay.
And so things like a Hefeweizen, great example. Another good example, like I said, was a pale ale or an ESB. I'm going to build myself up into an ESB kind of thing. And
the malt are a little less, but not quite into that.
Right. And the roasty flavors are going to go away a little bit. And then if I want to maybe go into like a Bock or something, it would be another good early spring beer that I'm thinking of, because I don't want to get rid of the coffee and chocolate flavor,
right.
So I might do a Bock or a Doppelbock or something. And then
into the My Bocks in May, right?
Right, there you go. And then once I'm in a My Bock, then now I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go into a Blonde and maybe a Pilsner. Now I'm ready back to get into the Oktoberfest. And then I'm back into the winters again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I think about things.
Gotcha, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything because I like a porter year-round.
That's what you like to drink, yeah.
But I like a porter year-round.
Well, I think we're seeing that more and more. If you like porters and you like stouts, people drink those year-round. You know, I like IPAs. I kind of drink those year-round.
You know, mac and cheese is not for just any day of
that's
the year.
That's right.
You know?
you don't just have to have turkey and stuffing on Thanksgiving.
That is
believe
correct.
It or not.
And it's actually quite good for, like, dinner tonight. Hint, hint.
I'm afraid I'm just going to get a microwave TV dinner
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, that's my deal for tonight too. So
it's a little hard to make a turkey and stuffing and the whole thing for just two people on a Tuesday night. But
no, what a wonderful beer that we have to try tonight.
Oh my goodness, it was so great. Yeah.
So and I think if you ever get a chance to try a Paulaner, whether it's a Hefeweizen or any of their other beers, give it a try. I think you'll enjoy what you're tasting.
Yeah, for sure. Go out there and try different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk a lot about Colorado breweries, but there's a lot of great imports and different other breweries out there. So get out there and try them all.
It helps keep us grounded.
That's
too,
right.
Right. You know, say, hey, is this beer that we're drinking here in Colorado good? Is it a good beer? Well, we get used to it. We just forget about all this international stuff.
If you enjoy a Colorado Hefeweizen, go out and find a traditional Hefeweizen. Oh,
that's a great idea.
Against.
That's a very great idea.
Find out what the style's truly supposed to be like.
So what's coming up at the tavern this coming
So we got our beer dinner is coming up next week.
Oh,
we've
got
Zwei Brewing out of Fort Collins coming in.
Speaking of German beers, right?
Speaking of German beers. Anything exciting at the 105?
We have a local band coming in this Friday, and we're gearing up for the great weekend as usual.
So get out there, go to Collab Fest, go to a brewery, enjoy the great beer. Lots of fun things to do at breweries this spring. And have a great night. We'll see you next week, or not next week, but in 2 weeks, everybody. Cheers.